You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
A few months ago, there was an article, and it was speaking about two friends. And so these two friends, they're two young guys in America. One's 21, one's 20. And so they're friends, and they're having a discussion. And what they're having a discussion about is the Bible. And so here are two friends, they've known each other for years, having a discussion about the Bible. And what they was actually debating was forgiveness. So right now, if I stop there, if I say there's two friends, same age, they're talking about the Bible, they're discussing forgiveness, we would say, that sounds good. How many know we would say that sounds pretty good, sounds pretty wholesome? The problem is where it ended, and it ended with one of them being shot in the head. And one of them being arrested for murder. One of being shot in the head and one of being arrested for murder. Could you put the thing up on there, the image that we've got? And so here it is. I don't know if you can see that on there. And so it's this guy, man shoots and kills his close friend during an argument over meaning of forgiveness in the Bible. How many know that's crazy? Look at someone and say, that's crazy. Now, you can take that down because we just don't want to see that no more. It's mad. Think about it now. Before I said the conclusion, we talk about friends, we spoke about Bible, we spoke about forgiveness, and so it sounds really Christian. But I want to say to you today, just because it looks Christian and sounds Christian, it doesn't mean it is Christian. And we need to understand that God has designed for us to have friendships that would bless us, that would encourage us, that would strengthen us, not destroy us. And some people have friendships that may be here, that they look good, they sound good, they feel good, but they might be the very thing that's going to destroy you in the end. And so let's read Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, a man who has friends must show himself to be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. I pray, Father, that you would move in this place today. Father, I pray that you open our hearts. We come against pride and we come against the flesh and we come against, Father, that we would be old wineskins. Because your word says you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. So we come here praying and desiring that you'd make us new wineskins. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, let me say this. How many of you have ever read this scripture before? You've read it before? Okay. Now, at a surface glance of this scripture, and can I tell you, I've actually said this, and hopefully I haven't preached it, but I've said it. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Now, what many people take from that beginning of the scripture is that if I want to have friends, I must be a friendly person. How many ever heard that? To say it like that. Okay. That is not what the scripture is actually saying. If you've said that, you're a heretic. No, don't worry. That's actually not what the scripture is saying. In its original form, what it's saying is, he that makes many friends does it to his own destruction. Because what he's contrasting, he says, here is somebody who's friends with everybody, and he doesn't filter out who his friends are. That's what this scripture is actually saying. And then it says, but there, because he says, but. So if it says, you know what, be friendly to everyone and you'll make friends, but, then the other thing should be different. Are you with me? Some of you are like, it's too deep, it's a Sunday, save that to Wednesday. No, come on, you'll get it with me. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And what the Bible is telling us here, he says, we need to look at our friendships based upon the quality of the individuals and who they are and how they respond. I want to make a statement. Christian friendship brings us closer to God. Christian friendship helps you grow in Christ. Christian friendship will bring you closer to God and grow in Christ. How many of you here, be honest with yourself, you want to grow in Christ and be closer to God? If that's you, lift your hand. Okay, so if you want that, the way you're going to get it is through Christian friendship. Now, let me tell you this now. There is no other friendship that can bring you closer to God and help you grow in Christ. There is no other friendship. If you want money, there are friendships you can make that will make you money. If you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, there are friendships, they don't have to be Christian friendships, that can get you a girlfriend or a boyfriend. If you want fame, if you want to look good on Instagram, there are people that you can make friends and you can get those end results. But if you want to grow in Christ and you want to draw closer to God, the only friendship that's going to help you and push you in that consistently is going to be a Christian friendship. See, the essence of Christian friendship is companionship forged in the fire of two convictions. That Jesus alone can satisfy my soul, and that his kingdom alone is worth living for. See, we got out there, okay, wonderful. These guys are way ahead of me. This is, real Christian friendship is going to be forged in this. Jesus alone can satisfy me, and that his kingdom alone is worth fighting, is worth living for, should I say. See, a distortion of Christian friendship encourages us, whether consciously or unconsciously, to place our affections in something else. Let me say this again, a distortion. You may think, oh, I've got Christian friends, we're friends, we go to church, we do this, we do that together. But a distortion of Christian friendship is, whether consciously or unconsciously, we're not saying people do it deliberately, but you may be doing it, or someone may be doing it to you, that they're actually encouraging you to put your affections into something else other than Jesus and his kingdom. Where do we see this in the Bible? You know, how many you've read in Matthew, when me and Kyle were talking about this yesterday, is that you read where Jesus is going to the cross, and Peter says to Jesus, no, don't go to the cross. And Peter starts rebuking Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. How many know you don't rebuke God furthermore? You can't be rebuked. How many know you're going to make a mistake if you're rebuking God? And so Jesus is God, and Jesus is like, I got to go to the cross. I got to die. I got to suffer so that people can be saved. And Peter kind of is like, no. Jesus, man, no. Come on, stop talking about this. And what that looks like is that Peter is a loyal friend. Peter's got Jesus' back. Come on, bro, Jesus, you're going to go and die on the cross of painful death. No, I got your back. Don't go down that road. I care for you. I'm looking out for you. Do you know how Jesus replies to this friendship? How Jesus looks at this friendship, even though this guy, him and Jesus are close, and he looks at, oh, you know what, Peter's just looking out for you, Jesus. Jesus does not receive this. Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you do not mind the things of God, but of men. That's what Jesus says to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Imagine if somebody came up to me and they said, Pastor, man, and I said, get behind me, Satan. Some of you would leave the church. That's not like Jesus. How many know it is like Jesus? Jesus actually rebukes his friend. Now, did Jesus give up on Peter? No. We understand that. When Jesus resurrects, he tells the disciples, go and get the rest of the disciples. He tells the woman, go get the disciples and Peter. Jesus is not saying, I'm done with you. But Jesus is saying, no. That type of friendship, our friendship can't be built upon just us. Our friendship must be built upon the kingdom. We must be thinking about the things of God. A while ago, me and my wife, I went to preach somewhere. And we were in the hotel and I was watching the news. And then they had this documentary type program come on. And it's basically, I had this bald head Cockney guy. And what he does is he goes into companies and places where people are trying to scam people. And he kind of confronts them. So say like there's a builder and he's built a wall. He builds the wall half and it's like a widow. And then he run off with the money and he's got a van. And this guy will turn up. He's caught and he goes, all right, mate, yeah. Can I talk to? And he comes up to the guy and he says, you've done this. And the guy's got the camera and he says, pushes the camera at my face. And they're trying to expose these con artists. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. None of you. Praise God. I feel like I'm glad I came to church. Wonderful. So one of them, it was talking about this woman. So the story starts like this. Here's this woman. She's probably about my age, middle age. And so she likes to go running. And so she started taking up running. And near her house, there's like a wood and all of this. And so it's all private ground. And so she goes running. So she would buy this torch where she would strap this thing to her head. And she would run. And so it's firing down lights, like LED lights, onto the ground so she can see where she's going. One time she goes out running and she's running and then she comes back, she drives back to her house, and while she's driving back to her house, this headgear is in the seat beside her, and all of a sudden it explodes. And so she jumps out of the car and everything like that. And so obviously she in trading standards, she gets all these people in touch. And what happened was she had bought it off the internet. And when she had bought it off the internet, it had not gone through rigorous standards, safety standards and testing. And so what the rest of the program was about is that these are the things that you need to look at. He says, because these things have come from China. And if you're from China, we love you. And so, these things came from China and they hadn't gone through certain rigorous testing. And so he starts to give signs of things that you need to look for, certifiable labels and certificates to say that this is safe. Here is this woman, she's bought this thing to help her, to shine light onto her path, to help her as she goes through life. That's what she bought it for, but by the grace of God, it exploded not on her head, but imagine if it exploded on her head. And could it be that many Christians, that you've got so-called Christian friends or relationships or positive people or spiritual people, and you've got them and you think that they're going to help you in your course of life, but they've exploded on your mind and now you cannot think straight. They've hijacked your emotions. Even when you sit in the house of God and you're hearing the word of God, something in you is resisting it because you're hearing their words come against the word of God. Can I tell you that I don't want that for you? I want you to succeed and prosper, live long, and be blessed and fruitful. And so I want to go through the five marks of Christian friendship very quickly, and we're going to pray at the end and believe God. These are the certifications that you want to see on the friendships that you're building. And this is twofold. This is for you to say, am I this type of friend? And this is for you to look at others. Are they this type of friend? Is this good for me? So many times the Bible warns about friendships. So many times. If you ignore it, you ignore it to your own peril. True friends heighten your joy in God. A true friend will heighten your joy in God. How many know companionship always wants to bring people into the joy that you have? If you go somewhere, yesterday, some of the guys, they took me to my very first boxing match. I've been baptized into this now. And so it's a very interesting experience for me. And I enjoyed it. It's a good time. I mean, I like boxing a little bit. And so it was good just hanging with the mandem. That's it. You know, some of you think that I wear a tie all the time. Wear a tie to bed, wear a tie in the shower. And so it's good just a fellowship with the guys. And so it was a good time. We had a good time. And so, but I was thinking this morning, we was there, we was watching it, and we was getting excited. Yeah, go on, give him one. You know, there was no sin, no carnality, amen, but we was having a good time. I mean, you can have a good time without carnality. Amen. And so the thing is this, though, I was thinking, imagine sitting there by yourself. Like, imagine you're just sitting there, it would be a different experience. You know, I was sitting there, John is there, James is there, Dan is there, Kyle is there, Everett's there, and we're looking at, hey, what happened? We're getting opportunities. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? One guy got up, we thought, oh, he's going to win, and the guy got knocked out within a second. And we was like, oh, what happened? And we're talking, because when you have something good, it's good to enjoy it with others. Even in the text we read last week, or should I say, the sermon I preached last week, we spoke about the woman who loses a coin, the man who loses a sheep. And when they find it, what do? They call their friends. If you've been to a nice restaurant, how many of you want to tell your friends? Ladies, you know, when you start to date or you meet someone, you want to tell your friends. This is how it is in life. The same should be with Jesus. Do your friendships make Jesus better? Christian friendships help us enjoy God. See, the temptation is to distort friendships, and we use God as a means to enjoy people more when it should be the other way around. Let me give you the balance here. Our friendships should help us enjoy God more. But what many people do is they ask God to help them enjoy people more. And you're thinking, what does that mean? This is why people, they only go to God to ask him for more things. So God, give me a spouse, give me friends, give me children. And they're going to God because in their mind, people are the end goal. This is not what a Christian friendship should be. A Christian friendship should be the opposite of that, is where we're basically saying, you know what, when we get together, I'm enjoying God more. You actually help me to enjoy God more. And so Christian friendship should heighten our joy in God. Do your friendships help you enjoy God more? Do they? Ask yourself that question. Second, this: true friends expose sin in us that keep us from God. True friendships, they expose the sin in us. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What that means is that sometimes a friend has to tell you some hard truths. A friend has to get in your face and tell you some stuff. Sometimes you see people do some stuff and you're like, I don't think you've got any friends. Because why would you do that? Your friends should be able to tell you, not to do that. Sometimes you see people wear stuff, you're like, I think you need some friends. Because why did you come out in the house like that? Someone should tell you. You should not be wearing belly tops. Belly tops are not good, but that belly is definitely not for that top. And so a friend, if you had a friend would have been like, no, don't go there. Now I ain't into belly tops, but some belly tops, listen, no. That's a whole nother thing. It should be at home, it should be for the husband, it should be holy, but let's go for another thing. Sometimes your people have to tell you things. Listen why you need people to tell you things. Because sin is deceitful. Listen, let me say this now. The nature of sin deceives you. Is there anybody here right now you're being deceived? No hands go up. Do you know why? It's because when you're being deceived, you don't know it until it's stopped. It's only when you come out of deception, you look back. No one knows they're being deceived while they're being deceived. Once when the deception stops, then you realize you're being deceived. The nature of sin is that it is deceiving. It darkens our understanding and makes us foolish. You will do foolish things. We need friends that lovingly tell us about our sin, about our blind spots. Bro, you're married. You shouldn't be having that type of relationship with that other unmarried woman. How many know we need some friends? You see a guy, he's all over, like he comes in with his wife, he's like, she's dragged behind, and then you see him, hey sis, cracking, hold up. You come in with her like Frankenstein, and now you've turned into Romeo. There's something, no, bro, what's happening here? Sometimes you need some friends that are gonna tell you some stuff, that will tell you the truth. Sis, I don't think you should talk to your husband like that. You're out of fellowship, there's a woman just washing her mouth on her husband, man. Dissing him, talking to him like a little boy. Listen, you shouldn't be talking to no husband like he's a little boy. I thought I'd have more men are scared.
They're like, don't say that, Pastor. Don't say that. She's going to give it to me tonight, man. Inside, amen, yes. Listen, another sister should draw a sister aside and say, listen, sis, man, men don't like that type of thing. You make yourself look silly. You make your husband look silly. It's just uncomfortable for all of us. You're spoiling the vibe, man. Don't talk to your husband like that. Oh, him, yeah, him, that boy. I'm going to tell that boy. That boy? You feel, you know, someone's becoming lukewarm. You should tell people. About social media. People put things on social media. Oh, listen, if you want to really get people vexed, see somebody put something carnal on social media and then try to tell them. Oh, my days. Listen, when I get to heaven, I've got scars where I've been bitten. You know, so, hey, bro, hey, how dare you? No, how dare you come to my church and put that out there? Thank you, wife. Listen, I only need that because that's who I go home with. I don't go home with the rest of you. You'll be like, hey, it's good times. Do you have those type of friends? Do you have those type of friends that can tell you? We'd rather have friends that always tell us what we want to hear. Me and you included. I would prefer that my friends would always tell me what I want to hear. Me and you included. If you're here and you're like, no, I want people to rebuke me. Nobody wants to be rebuked. I would prefer that my friends always tell me what I want to hear. But the problem is with that, is that what they're doing is they're giving me false grace. You know what false grace is? False grace excuses sins. Telling people they can draw closer to God without repentance. You cannot draw closer to God without repentance. The first thing that John the Baptist says, he's the beginning of the kingdom of God. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The first thing that Jesus says, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The first thing the Apostle Peter says, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. But nowadays, we want the kingdom without the repentance. You gotta change. Again, you know, the other day I was like, me and Carl were talking about some stuff about fitness and health, and he's helping me, giving me some exercises, and then he broke me in half yesterday. But we were talking about some people they have expectations. He was telling me people will come to him and show him a picture, like of a model. I want to look like this. But they're not willing to eat model food. He's telling me that about, there's a guy that just eats raw broccoli. Just crunches it like an apple. Not boiled, not cooked, not steamed, not nothing. Just raw. 6-pack. 8-pack. 10-pack. I may look on the front of, you know, Maxi Man, whatever it's called, and I want that. But the problem is, I want chips. And I want burgers. And even yesterday, I went Five Guys. After we spoke about it, I was like, yeah, cool. And he gave me these exercises, and then we said, let's go Five Guys. That's how it is, though. That's how it is spiritually. And you need someone that will tell you, no, stop going Five Guys. You told me you want a 6-pack, I'll get you a 6-pack, but you've got to stop going Five Guys. And the same is spiritually. You're telling me you want to be a woman of God. You want to be a man of God. You want your children to be blessed, your marriage to be blessed, your ministry to be blessed. You need someone that can come alongside you and say, bro, come on. Sis, come on. You got to repent. You got to turn your dieting around. You got to turn your exercise around. You got to turn your reading around. You got to turn your prayer around. You got to turn your, whatever it is, you got to repent. Third thing, friends encourage each other to obey God. Hebrews 10 verse 27. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. To stir up. And if you read on, the Bible actually says that don't stop coming to church. Don't stop gathering. You should always be in church. When these doors are open, you should always come. And he said, you know what the purpose is? so that you can encourage each other. That's what we should be coming to church. This is only one part of the service. The service is built up of many things. The service is built up of prayer. The service is built up of worship. The service is built up of preaching. The service is built up of giving. And the service is built up of repentance. But the service should always also be built up of encouragement. And that's what you guys do for each other. You don't just come and spectate, listen to me, spit and sweat. And then you just go home. Oh, that was good. Yeah. Yeah, he was a bit off today, but yeah, he was all right. And you just go home. No, after we say amen, you join with one another and you encourage. You encourage, you encourage. And what you do is you encourage one another to obey God. You know, obeying God takes courage. Have you realized that yet? Any old coward can follow the world. Listen, it doesn't take strength to follow the world, to walk around like a rude boy, to put your pants down here, to don't work a job, to live with your mum and pretend like you're a bad man. You don't pay rent, don't do nothing positive. Anybody can do that. Anybody, any sister can walk around like a hoochie mama. Summer's coming. Summer just blinked and belly tops already. It blinked. It blinked. The sun went wink. Belly top. That's it. It's my time. My time to shine. My time. My time. Come on, girl. No. He said, no. Come on, come anyway. Yesterday, when we went into the, when we was at the boxing yesterday, I've never experienced this before. That they say, and come into straight out of there, and he comes out and he plays his music, and they're walking down, and people are cheering. People are encouraging them. That's what they're doing. They're cheering them on. They get in the ring. He says, in the blue corner, in the red corner. And again, people cheer. They're trying to encourage. They're the cheerleaders. When you're watching the boxing match, when the opponent that people want to win, he hits him and everyone goes, ooh, yeah. And when he wins, people go, they're encouraging. That's what we should be doing with one another. Encouraging one another to obey God. To obey God. Someone comes to you and says, you know what? God's been talking to me about prayer. And yeah, you can do it, you know. Why don't you, God's been saying to me to get up early. Listen, you could do it. Let's do it together. And at the end of the week, they say, you know what, every day this week, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I've been getting up early and I've been praying for half an hour. Yes, come on. We should encourage one another. We should encourage one another in all of these things. They may be small to you. You may sit here and be like, oh, what's that? You know why you think it's small? Because you ain't tried it. Any man that's tried to get up every day and pray every day knows this thing ain't easy. You know that thing ain't easy. It's like me looking at 200 kilograms, easy. Yeah, you ain't even lifted it with your maga arms. We need to be encouraging one another. Are you a cheerleader for your friend to obey God? When your friend obeys God, when you see them put a scripture up on WhatsApp, do you give them the clapping hands? Do you encourage one another? So many times people encourage, listen, I'm not saying don't do this or don't do that. You know, people take a picture of their food and you, yeah, but wow, that's amazing. That's your food and it's on a plate and you've got a knife and a fork. Wow, that's great. Maybe it is great. Maybe it's your first meal. But what about the things of God? Do we encourage people and push people on and put courage in them? Think of the word encourage. I'm putting courage in you because to serve God, you're going to need courage. Because without the courage to obey God, you know what happens to people? They start to shrink away from God. They start to stagnate into apathy. They're too afraid to step out for God. Listen, there are people here, God has been putting big dreams and big things into your heart, but you're too afraid to step out. You need someone that's going to encourage you. You need to surround yourself with someone who's going to encourage you. I've always told you about the time when I was a new convert, and we would say, listen, we want to preach on the bus. We just want to get up and preach on the bus. Some of you are like, preach on the bus, you're nuts. Listen, we just wanted to get the word out any way, shape, or form. And what we would do is we'd be there together. We're like, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on, you can do it. And my heart would be scared. And I see people's faces. And then it's like their faces become like lions. And I'm like, oh my days, what's going to happen? But we're encouraging one another. This is why it's good to come out on outreach.
Come out and evangelize with us, because together we are stronger. Because without your Christian family, you're going to shrink and draw back. And if you don't have spiritual people around you, we're not talking about flattery and superficial inspiration, flattery. Just, you know that, don't you? You know people who flatter people. Oh, wow. Yeah, you go, girl. You look good. And turn their face. That's flattery. It's a lie. I'd rather you tell me the truth than flatter me. I'd rather truth. It may hurt. Do you cast a bigger vision for somebody? You know, sometimes we need someone that can look at our lives and say, listen, right now you're here, you're doing okay, but you could be here. You could be here. They have a bigger vision than you have for your life. You could be here. I thank God that I have men in my life that have had a bigger vision. Let me just say this now. When I was a disciple in the church, I never imagined that I could be a pastor. Never. Not in a million years did I ever think that I could be a pastor. I didn't think I could do that. I didn't think I could. It just didn't even come into my head. It wasn't in the equation. I'd never been a success in anything, done anything of any value. I got jobs and worked hard, and praise God for that. But you know what? All of these things. But I remember Pastor Jay, he would always say to me, listen, Courtney, man, God is on you. God is on your life, man. God is on you. He used to say things to me. He says, you've got an insight into the word of God, man. He says, you know what? You're the only guy who's not a pastor. I'll call up and I'll talk to you. And he would have a bigger vision for me. I remember him saying one time, he said, you know what? Me and Pastor Carnegie were talking and we needed someone to take over a church in another nation. And I mentioned your name. Remember, this time I'm not a pastor. This time I'm not even married. And he said, I mentioned, and Pastor Carnegie was like, yeah, if Courtney was married, we could send him. And I was like, me? I had never in my life even thought that I could be thought of like that. But just knowing that somebody had a vision that was bigger than my vision, it helped me to say, you know what? Maybe you can. Maybe if you just get your life in order, get your act together, you can. You need friends that are speaking those things into your life. We affirm that obedience glorifies God. Let me move on. You need true friendship brings us, true Christian friendship brings us to God in our weakness. Many of you know the story about, in Luke 5, I believe it is where this guy's paralyzed and his friends bring him to Jesus to be healed. And they can't get in the door. It's rammed. Jesus is in this house. Everybody's all around this house. And so they come to the door of this friend. And they say, you know what, let's take him on the roof. Let's break through the roof. And they break through the roof and they lower this guy in. And when they lower the guy down, Jesus prays for him and he gets healed. You know why that happened? It's because he had friends that could bring him to Jesus even when he was too weak to get to Jesus himself. One time it was a Wednesday, not here, when I was a disciple again. I came to church, I looked around, and there was a friend of mine in church, and he was a friend of mine that was coming to the church. He was a disciple. We were both young in the Lord, both single. And he wasn't in church. It was Wednesday. And where is that brother? Because he always comes early for prayer and sets up. He was a disciple. And so I was like, where is he? And so I called him. I said, bro, where are you? He says, oh, I'm just at home. So it's Wednesday. We're going to start church in a minute, man. What are you doing at home? Oh, you know, I'm just not feeling it today, you know, bro. What? You're not feeling it? I said, yeah, all right, no problem. Put the phone down. I got in my car. I'm not feeling it. I drove to his house. I buzzed his buzzer. He's like, yeah, who's it? I said, it's Courtney. I said, let me in. I go upstairs. I said, bro, get dressed. You're coming to church with me. No. I said, bro, get dressed. I'm not leaving here. You're going to make me miss church. Then I'm going to get vexed. I said, just get dressed. What had happened was, there was a girl in the church that was flirting with him and led him on. And then she burnt him, just threw him to the curb. I mean, that's wicked. We don't want them to have a woman up in this place. I'm just going to say that, yeah?
If you don't like the brother, then just tell the brother you don't like him, or just show him you don't like him. You women, you have your ways of showing us. You have your ways. You know how to show us you don't like us. You know, and if you need help, we'll tell. Speak to me, and I'll fix the brother's antenna. Bro, you're not getting the signals, man. She don't like you. She don't like you. She don't. Yeah, see, it's fixed now. That's coming from her. And so he was like depressed, and he'd been buying her gifts and doing things for her. Exactly, yeah. And so he was a bit bad, man. Some women here were like, what's wrong with that? Like, what's wrong with that? Hey, girls got to eat. We need to pray for some of you, man. We need a whole series, man. And so he got in the car. I took him to church. We got to church just before praise and worship finished. Pastor Carnegie preached this, you know, this amazing sermon, bowled us over, 10 pins are down. After the service, he's rejoicing. He's back on track. Eventually, you know what? He gets married. He has kids. He's gone on with his life. Can I tell you, imagine if I just said, okay, no problem. You ain't feeling it today. So No. Some of you would have been like, oh, yeah, that's just the way it is. No. Sometimes when people are weak, you got to be strong for them. You got to go to their house and say, listen, no, you're not giving up. I'm not giving up on you. You're coming to church with me. I'm coming to get you. Now, listen, don't use no rope, no cuff, handcuffs. We don't know kidnapping, stalking, them type of things there. But I'm just saying, sometimes, listen, when people are weak, because alone, it's easy to believe the lies of the devil. When you're alone, listen, when I'm alone, I can easily start believing the lies of the devil. You're no good. This won't work. You need to quit. And that's what I'm hearing. But then if I have people that come alongside me and tell me, listen, even though you're weak, we're going to be strong for you. We're going to believe God for you. What does that mean is that you can tell people, listen, I know you've messed up. Yeah, you failed, you flopped, you made a mistake. You was put out of church, you was this, you was that. But God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. You're no different than anybody else in this place. Listen, I don't know what you've done, where you've been, how you've sinned, but I want to tell you, you're saved and I'm saved if you believe in Jesus, and that's it. There's only saved and unsaved. You can help people by helping their specific needs. Sometimes you got to dig in your pocket and help people, man. Sometimes you got to help. Hey, what's going on? Ooh, times are hard. You know what? £50. I'll give it back. No, giving backs. God has given me. God has given me. Yeah. You bless people. You help people. Sometimes all you can do is pray for people. All you can do is lift them into the presence of God by your prayers. Get up every day and every night and say, God, let me bring their name before you. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for their marriage. I'm going to pray for their kids. I'm going to pray for their health. I'm going to pray for their finances. Pray for their home. Pray for their ministry. You can pray for people, even when they're not praying for themselves. The Bible says that Peter was locked up. But the Bible says the church came together and they prayed for him. And God did a miracle and shook everything and freed him and the chains fell off. And then Peter comes to the prayer meeting. I look forward to the day where people have their own prayer meetings and they're praying and interceding for one another. And I don't even know about it. It's nothing to do with me. Testimonies bursting all over the church. People getting jobs, people having kids, people getting married, people getting healed, people getting blessed, people getting saved, people's kids getting saved, people's uncles and aunts, and everybody's getting saved. And we don't even know what's happening, but God knows what's happening, because all over the church, there are people coming together and they're lifting people up, praying for people, interceding for people, fasting for people. When someone wants to, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Listen, do you want to pray for them? Do you want to fast for them? Do you want to come around my house and we start praying at 10 and we finish at 6 in the morning for them? Then I don't want to know about what so-and-so and this and that. I ain't got no time for that. I got my own mess that I'm trying to help myself get out of. Last one, true friendship loves us for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Did that text say, do some things to the glory of God? Did it say, do things from Monday to Friday to the glory of God? Did it say, do things from 9 to 5? Or should it be, it would be more fitting to say, do things from on a Sunday between 2 and 5 to the glory of God? Do things on Wednesday from 7 till 9 to the glory of God? No, you know what it says? All things. 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. You do things to the glory of God. See, the world's idea of intimate friendship is me focusing on you and you focusing on me. But real Christian friendship is us focusing on Jesus. I said in the beginning, the essence of Christian friendship is companionship forged in the fire of two convictions. Jesus alone can satisfy your soul. His kingdom alone is worth living for. That is the true essence of Christian friendship. Your Christian friendship. Sometimes people come to church and they build a friendship with people, and then after a while it starts to drift apart. And they wonder why. And many times, you know why? Because some people have, you've drifted from the mission. You've drifted from what it's about. It's about Jesus. You want people to come around and make it about you, about your fun, your enjoyment. Can I tell you, we're still on mission here. There are still, today there's probably about 180 people in here, including children. Do you know how many empty seats are here? There's over 2,000 empty seats still in this building. Each one of those seats could be a life rescued for Jesus. I think we got a lot of work still to do. I don't know about you. And I say, you know what? Let us use our friendships and build our friendships so that it draws closer to God, so that when Christ comes, when I die and stand before God, I want to be right with Him. The other day I had to meet a guy, sometimes comes to our church, he needed some counseling. And so I met him, and I said, meet me in Elephant. I was going to go to the Bible study later on that day. It was Friday. And so we met in Elephant, and there's that Pret-a-Manger. So I said, let's go there. And so I said, what do you want? He said, yeah, I'll have a tea. So we've got a hot drink, chocolate croissant. Too much information, I know, but bear with me, I'm tired now. So, you know, that type of establishment, it's not posh, but it's not road. How many know that? So the people that are there, it was about 4 o'clock. So these are people coming back from the office, 5 o'clock. So they're in there, coffee, mocha, cappuccino, light, da, da, da. You know, they're saying all that. And so I said that. So they have contactless, so I put my card on there. The guy gives me the chocolate donuts. I go and give it to the guy I'm talking to. And then the guy went, excuse me, sir. Your card was declined. Okay. Now let me just give you some background to this story, yeah? Before you figure out, hey, Pastor, this is a 419 business, man. You know, recently I bought tickets and a few things, and so I've gone to the limit of my card. That's really, I've made some big expenditures. And so that's fine. And so I try to style it. I must admit, there was a tinge of embarrassment. There was a little bit of embarrassment. You know, and so I tried to just, no problem, I got another one. Give me another one. I've got another one, don't worry. This happens all the time. I need to, because, oh, my accountant, oh. Beast. Accountant. And so, do that. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, amen. Yeah, all right. Praise God. Can I tell you, both of those cards, they look the same. Both of those cards in my wallet. The wallet is the church. The cards are the people. One day, God's gonna contactless you. He's going to say, I never knew you. In heaven, there's that contactless. He's going to be like, okay, come here. Peter, contact them. Excuse me. Declined. And I want to tell you, I felt a little bit of shame. Imagine what you're going to feel on that day. Make sure your friendships are helping you so that you never have to experience that. And make sure that you're helping others that they never have to experience that. So that when we get to heaven, we'll be like, bro, thanks. Because when I was going to give up, you helped me. Sis, thanks. When I was fake and a hypocrite, you told me, straighten up, thanks. And we're going to be there all together by the glory of God. Let's give God glory. Let's give our God glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.